Welcome to the Happy Hippie Podcast, your weekly dose of holistic wellness and positive energy. My name is Amanda McCormack. I'm your host. I'm here to guide you on a journey towards a more happier and fulfilled life. I'm a yoga teacher, a wellness specialist, and I'm basically just very passionate about helping you transform your life, mind, body, and soul. So whether you're interested in fitness, just improving yourself, or seeking more joy in your daily routine, you're in the right place. Each week, we explore different practical tips, have conversations, and share new ways that you can embrace happiness in every aspect of your life. So get comfortable, take a deep breath, and let's begin this journey together. This is the Happy Hippie Podcast, where wellness meets happiness and transformation begins with you. Welcome back to another episode. This is a really fun episode. It's a bit of a wake-up call, but a fun one. I want you to leave this episode feeling confident about the person that you want to be, and that you can step into that version of you. You'll be able to discern what may be holding you back from that transformation and leave with actionable steps on how to do that. What's the hate about that? Not a lot. So before we dive into what we're going to talk about, the meat, the chunk of the episode, which are going to be four main points, four different things to overcome, plus tips to help in each of those points, I want to talk about something really important that adds to this whole element, okay? We have to take action for anything in our life that we want to change, okay? Everything that you experience is a reflection of your inner world. We've talked about this before. We did talk about it recently on the neuroscience episode, episode 56. So that's two episodes ago. If you want to learn a little bit about how everything you experience in your life is actually a reflection of what you see outside of you, we go into that in 20 minutes in that episode. So if you have 20 minutes, check it out. But if you've ever heard the expression, you know, hurt people, it's true. If you find yourself judging yourself, then you probably judge other people. If you're angry at yourself, you may start to be angry at others. And again, this can be subconscious, you're not even realizing it, or you can be aware of these emotions. If you have love for yourself and you're feeling very happy with yourself, then you'll be able to give that love and happiness to other people more easily. Your current reality and what you're experiencing is just a manifestation of what's happening inside your brain, inside your heart, your inner world. It's also a manifestation of where your comfort zone is. So if you ever want to check in with yourself and see if you're pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone or not, the world around you is a mirror of what is comfortable for you. So if you're looking into your reality and you're seeing things that you really don't like, if you want to change a little bit, it might be a sign that you need to step outside of your comfort zone, or you need to build a new familiarity that aligns with what you want. Because when we step outside of our comfort zone, that's when things change. And I like to be really nice on this podcast. Sometimes some of these topics, I'm like, I gotta deliver them in like a nice way. But the basic truth is nothing changes until something changes in your life. So again, nothing will change in your life until something actually changes. And I know that sounds simple and kind of cliche, but if you're kind of sick of the current life you're living or a small aspect of it, you're living it because it doesn't align with what the reality of what you want to live. You know, if something's off and you're not enjoying it, that means that you have a reality that you're holding in your heart that's not aligning with the one that you have right now. And you can make a change, and you need to make a change if you're uncomfortable with something in your life. And nothing is gonna change unless you take charge and make that change. So taking a leap of faith isn't just about action. It's not just about doing something. It's actually more about the beliefs that you hold inside of you, because actions will mean nothing if your energy and beliefs are very misaligned with what you want. So we're going to work from the inside out, focusing on changing the beliefs and the perceptions that you have so that when you take action, it'll actually be worth it. Okay. So this whole episode is about four ways that we hold ourselves back in life. And more importantly, how we can break through those barriers, how we can change these beliefs under the surface so that when we take action in any area of our life, this can be something very small, like starting a new habit, or it can be something big, like uprooting your life and doing something totally different. You can use these same techniques. These are four common things that I experience these myself. When I write these episodes, I reflect on myself, but I also reflect on what I see in the world, who I talk to, what I listen to, clients I've worked with. And I've noticed these are four things that people tend to put up this little barrier. You know, we put up our own little box and kind of box ourselves in, but we can learn and become aware and take action to knock down those boxes, and it'll just make life much more easier for us. So let's dive into our first major blockage, which is the fear of being seen, the fear of judgment, and the fear of perception, they're all interlinked, okay? So you may resonate with this or you may not, but it is common that humans have a little bit of this in us. And there's actually a biological reason why. So our brain in general, most of the things we do in life are for, well, a mix, because we have like two different big segments in our brain. One of them is old. It's like our old brain, our limbic brain, different parts of our brain, like the amygdala and things like that, helped us survive. And we've evolved, as we know, I hope, we've evolved from beings that were in like caravans, nomads, and we were basically like hunting things, hunter-gatherers, and we survived. We evolved and our brains grew and we were able to take on different aspects of life and life changed. But we still have that segment in our brain that is very wired to survive because we are animals. So we have that survival element in our brain. And this is the reason for like a lot of our problems in life, honestly, because society today is not a nomadic tribe. And a lot of our fears and instinctual behaviors come from this part of our brain. So like I said, the fear of being seen actually stems from that too. Our survival segment of the brain is very wired to seek acceptance from others. That's like in our code, okay? So this can make being different, pushing the status quo, or being visible in general, like standing out amongst a crowd of people, feel threatening. And not to everybody, but it's wired in us more so than not. This pattern exists in our brain and we feel this way, like in our nervous system, that it's kind of scary to stand out, because if we were to stand out and do something different and do something that our tribe didn't like back in the day, they'd kick us out. We'd end up in the snow by ourselves with no food, with no clothing, with no gear to hunt, and we could die. So our brains have evolved to think about standing out and being yourself, because being yourself and standing out and being visible, and this can stem with posting online, putting yourself out there, being really outgoing, making new friends, talking to different people on the street, things like that can seem a little scary to us under the surface, because our brains are wired to think, girl, if we do that, we're gonna die. Even though we know that's not true, it's in our genetic code. So again, we do these things because our body wants us to stay safe. So we'll play small. We want acceptance from others. We're wired to seek acceptance from others. That's why you notice a lot of people, especially young people, and not a diss to young people and kids, but I mean, you notice this example of behavior a lot more in, for example, middle schoolers. You can see how they try to fit in desperately, how there's a lot of bullying around that age, around people who don't fit in. It's just because it's part of our survival part of the brain, and they haven't really developed their frontal cortex yet. So their survival instincts, not survival instincts, but these old instincts in their head are really strong. So that's why you see a lot around the age of like 12, people bully each other. Or if you try to do something new, like you get made fun of. You can see this literally online with like the tweens in the comments on like TikTok. They're the ones probably leaving the most hate comments because they see something that's different and they immediately point it out because they're wired to think that. And you wouldn't associate that with safety, and they don't associate it with safety, but we evolve to prioritize safety, quote unquote, over standing out so that we don't get kicked out and die. So when we're doing our own thing, we're doing something unique to us, something that might maybe draw attention, we're wired to like put it away, you know? We have to like be very compassionate about these things when it comes to working on improving ourselves, because we have to remember these are just primal things. It's a primal fear that we have. Our body's just trying to protect us. So we can work to change this wiring and do it from a place of like grace. Know that anytime like these things come up in life and you have a resistance, a lot of the times it's just stuff that's really hardwired in our head, and we can work to change it, like I said, but look at it from a little place of compassion, okay? So I actually think once we work through this fear of being seen, now I'm going to give a bunch of examples because you may be listening to this, and again, you may think it resonates, but you may also be like, I'm not afraid of being myself and standing out. Well, one of the biggest ways that fear actually manifests, because again, this comes down to fear. We're trying to protect ourselves. Something comes up and we want to like hide from it. One of the biggest ways it manifests is through perfectionism. And when I found this out, it really hurt. It really hurt because it helped me in such a good way. I was doing it so much. I had no idea about this. And I knew a lot about perfectionism, and I've listened to podcasts in the past where people were talking about getting over perfectionism, but I never approached it from this point of view where perfectionism, it's not just about having high standards. It's the belief that if something isn't perfect, you're going to be judged for it. And if you're judged for it, then you're going to be rejected. So fear of rejection is actually where perfectionism kind of stems from. And we don't want to be rejected, so we do everything we can to perfect our work, our appearance, etc. And sometimes we don't even do the work. We don't even get to do the work because we're waiting for the perfect time or the perfect conditions, whatever that may be, to even get started. I've seen that so many times in my life. For me, it happens with some, honestly, posting on my Instagram, you'll notice, hate to give myself up here, you'll notice periods of time where like I stop posting, and I usually because I'm like, oh, I want to put this up first before I post that, or I want this to look a certain way and I don't have time to do it today, so I'll do it tomorrow. And then I end up not posting for like 2 weeks. Podcast episodes too. Honestly, I'll come up with so many ideas and I want them to all be perfect that I don't put them out, because I guess when you backtrack that, it's a fear of me being afraid that I'm going to put something out that's not good, because if I don't spend as much time as I'm thinking I need to spend on it, or enough effort writing this out or something, that I'm going to put it out there and people aren't going to like it and I'm going to get rejected and it's going to bounce back in my face. I don't think that way. Like, I really day to day don't think that. But when you like write it out and journal it and dig deep, I'm like, oh, that's actually the reason. Like, I'm so fearful of putting something out that's not perfect that boom, I don't do it at all. And like I said, this is like something that comes in and out of life. I go through phases where this isn't really a problem, and then I go through phases where it comes up a little bit more. But like I said, posting on Instagram on my regular account, I noticed maybe when I was in college, there was like so much effort trying to be perfect with things like that. It could also be with working out, telling yourself that you're going to start working out once you get this cool outfit in the mail, you know, once you start getting workout clothes that fit you, then you'll start going to the gym, or you're going to go to the gym once this quarter's done with work, you'll start doing that. Even it could be like waiting to ask somebody out. You're going to wait to ask somebody out until you look this way, or you're more confident, or your job, blah, 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 or you have more money. Going on a trip, you put it off until this, until the kids are here, I'm doing this and that. Even buying clothes. It can be so many things that we just put off because we want to be perfect, but in reality, we're scared that if we take the leap right now and it's not quote unquote perfect, we're going to get rejected in some way, that it's going to backfire on us because we didn't put all of our effort and all of our things around it to be perfect. It's going to come right back in our faces and we're going to get rejected in some way. So we work on being perfect so that we don't actually have to do the thing and don't have to get rejected. So perfectionism is almost like a form of self-abandonment. You know, we do it to feel safe, and we feel safe when we don't put ourselves out there, you know, when we're here, what we have right now, because if we try something new, it can come back and we get rejected. And then we're basically just having a fear of rejection, but it's masked up as perfectionism. Have you ever noticed that sometimes, I'm saying have you ever noticed, but it's something I do, that you might self-sabotage right before something good is about to happen or a big breakthrough? That's literally perfectionism trying to keep you safe, you know, in your comfort zone. So same thing with me, like I'll be posting so often and I have like all this good feedback and I'm getting more messages from people and I'm connecting with people, and then all of a sudden I stop posting, and it's because my body's trying to keep me safe. It doesn't understand like what's happening in a way. You see it in relationships a lot. Like I've seen it, you see it on TV shows. Like the number one thing I do is like evaluate stuff on TV shows. If you watch Love Island is like the perfect psychology study. You can see when things are starting to work out between people and they either believe they're not worthy or they're going to mess it up, they just pull back so fast and they like cut off the whole relationship. If you can even call it a relationship, it's been 3 days. But you know what I mean? It's like you can see it in action in so many different ways in life. Even in film, a lot of plots in film, you can see where somebody is like getting really close to something and then they self-sabotage in some way, whatever that may be. Something that's just helped me in general is showing up with whatever I can with consistency, okay? Focusing on progress, focusing on doing a very small thing and doing things that align with the type of person that I want to be in the future, instead of focusing on posting like the best thing ever, you know? Just let me post something tiny. Let me just take a step in this direction because that's what like the best version of myself would do, okay? So let me just go for a walk today. If it's all I can do, I'd rather go for a walk than put off not moving my body all week because I don't feel like perfect enough to go to the gym. Whatever it may be, taking these little steps, your fear might not disappear in one night, but when you're making this sort of progress, it can help you overcome it. And I find that's also how habits and hobbies are built. So just taking little steps when you can, because being seen and doing things, and being seen can be just showing up in whatever way you can, you know, it's one of the most powerful things, because that is what allows opportunities in your lives. When you're holding yourself back, when you're almost hiding from these things, we're actually preventing others from connecting with us and opportunities from coming to us because we're holding ourselves back where we are. Now, a way that I would like to reframe this is, I thought about this like once or twice and it has helped me. So let me kind of get through the scenario. If you hear it at first and have a resistance, I'll explain a little bit about it. So thinking about the idea of what if hiding your true self, your most authentic self, doing the thing, posting this thing, showing up here, taking that job, asking this person out, whatever. What if it's actually very selfish to do that, to not do it, to like stand back and do perfectionism and not do anything and self-sabotage? What if that is actually selfish? Stay with me. Because every time that you dim your light, because that's what it is, you're dimming your light when you're not showing up as yourself and doing what you really want to do and you're holding yourself back in some way, you're not just doing a disservice to yourself, but you're denying other people their permission too, to like shine. Because everything that you do has a ripple effect. And that's something that kind of keeps me going with like this space where I show up and I post, I put myself out there, and it's very vulnerable for me to like share all this stuff, and I have to like put my face like all over the internet and do all these things. And even though I have like a smaller community that I love, it's still something that I need to remember that I'm not just doing it for myself. Like, I really am not. Everything I do has a ripple effect. And same with you. Everything that you do actually extends far beyond you. So you're not only doing a disservice to yourself, if you reframe it this way, but you're doing a disservice to others by hiding yourself and hiding what you can do in your projects and what you can put out there. And you end up being seen for someone that you're really not, or someone who's just like a micro expression of your true self, which it doesn't feel great. There's still some areas in life where I'm working on this. So like, I know that, where I'm like, that's not actually really who I am. And I want to like shine more in that area, but I find myself holding back and I'm doing what I said, where I take like the baby steps to get there. But when you show up as your full self, you know, whether that's being more outgoing, whether that's sharing your art, recording yourself, or just like simply expressing your true opinions, you know, you create an invitation for others to do the same. People get very inspired when they see people being themselves. Think about the people that you follow online. Think about people in movies, like whatever you can think about as someone as an inspiration. They're being their truest expression of themselves, right? And that inspires you, whether you know it or not. You know, it's not about ego when you're holding back on these things. It's about service. If you want to reframe it that way, that has helped me a lot overcome things, is knowing that it's not only helping me, but it's helping other people. And the more visible that you become, the more like opportunities will flow your way. But most importantly, you're just going to feel better. You're going to start feeling fulfilled in a way that's almost impossible, I would say, when you're hiding. And I know this because, like I said, I'd be living it too. When you align with your purpose and things that you enjoy and show up as yourself, you're going to live a life that you actually want to create. So these are two journaling questions. I actually got them offline, but I think they're great to kind of help you with this area, you know? Number one is, where in your life are you using perfectionism as a box to hide, to delay being visible in who you are? So where are you using perfectionism to kind of like dial back and hide your true self? And the next one is, what's an authentic part of yourself that you have been dimming to stay likable to other people? Whether that's your personality, hobbies, where in your life have you been kind of dialing back, playing safe, playing low to fit in? And a good affirmation is, the more visible that I am, the more I open up opportunities for myself. So I just think it's very important. Anything that you're going to do, like we were talking about taking action in the beginning of the episode, if you have this fear subconsciously and you're holding back and trying to be perfect in everything and you're not really expressing your true self, you're not going to be as fulfilled. It's harder to do things, but when you take these baby steps, you're going to feel more fulfilled in your true expression. And when you start feeling more fulfilled in your expression, you're going to feel fulfilled in your purpose, and you're going to align yourself with the life that you want. And that's where we want to go, right? So I think the number one thing, like in this episode, I always say it, the first bullet point I do is always a little bit longer, because I want to drive the point home that the fear of being seen is very normal. It's in our subconscious. It's wired in. But it doesn't have to control your choices, okay? We can start small, but start somewhere. Your visibility isn't just about you. Remember, it's a gift to everybody. And it's just going to make you feel so much better when you start showing up for yourself and just doing the things you like making a life that you enjoy. And I go through phases where I find myself doing it a lot. And then I'll go through phases where I'm not feeling the best, right? Whether that's a day, a week, a month, I'm feeling a little off. And when I dial back and look at myself, I'm like, I'm not doing the things I enjoy. I'm not showing up as who I really could be in my authentic self. And that's probably part of the reason I'm not feeling great. And then when I go and I take baby steps and I start to show up a bit and do the things I like to do, I'll start to feel so much better and my life feels so much fulfilled and everything around me starts, you know, like rose-colored glasses looking good. So it really is something I think is very important. The second major way that I think we hold ourselves back is living too much in our masculine energy. And again, when I talk about masculine and feminine energies, it's not like a gender-based thing, but think of yin and yang, push and pull. It's just the equilateral like balance that we have as humans, you know? The constant go, go, go mentality that the world seems to almost like glorify, that's masculine energy. Pushing forward, being the first one to take initiative, doing these things. In today's world, we're constantly pushed towards this energy. So this would be like the yang energy, always doing something, very focused on achieving something, pushing forward. Even like some of the self-development stuff I'm talking about, we sometimes approach it from this angle of go, 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 okay? So while this energy does have its place, it exists for a reason and we need it. like I was saying, we have to take change. We have to take an action to make anything happen in life. We're in control of that. When we live in that state of go, 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 I need to get this, I need to be here, I need to be at the next level, I need to level up, like all of that, like gym bro mentality, when we live here constantly, we create a little bit of an imbalance in our lives, okay? So living too much in your masculine energy, and again, this can happen for either gender, it's just a term, like yang energy. I just want to drive that home again. When we're living too much in that yang energy, it could look like hustling all the time but never having rest. You can see this in your gym days. You could see it in your day-to-day life where you're working all the time and not dialing back and giving yourself rest. Rest can be something enjoyable. It doesn't have to be sleeping, but pulling back from that hustle culture, pushing through exhaustion, doing overtime and pushing yourself. It could be social events when you're tired and you know personally you worked all week and you really don't have the capacity to hold space for your friends, like telling them, hey, maybe I can't come out tonight. It could look like overscheduling yourself in those ways where you're just taking on all this work and then feeling guilty when you're not quote unquote productive. And the truth is we need both these energies, but it's about finding a balance between the yin and the yang. When we're too focused on having more, which if you notice those bullet points I said, like hustling, pushing through exhaustion, overscheduling yourself, we want more and more and more. And the reason why probably is, thank you, capitalism. It's pushed in our society. All the marketing messages around us, everybody around us subconsciously wants more. We think that everything is outside of ourselves. We can't find happiness in ourselves because that's what we're told 24/7 through media. Okay, so it's very normal, again, looking at these things with compassion for ourselves. We're wired this way because of the world we live in. But when we focus so much on living on this energy of wanting more, being more, we completely miss out on the present moment and enjoying what is happening right now in our lives. Your body will tell you when you're a little bit out of balance, okay? When your body's feeling stressed, stress manifests as different things in your body. Maybe you're having digestive issues. You can literally have stress in your body and feel it, that your shoulders are tugged up by your ears, your jaw is tight. Check in with yourself right now. Is your tongue pressed up against the top of your mouth? Just like relax it, okay? Our body shows us when we're constantly stressed. It may come up as sleep problems. It may come up as just overwhelm, okay? So the solution here is to lean into more of the feminine energy, more of that yin energy. So this means honoring your body's cues, learning how to slow down a little bit, listening to your body when it needs rest, when it would prefer a slower type of exercise, when it would prefer staying in tonight, making time for rest and rejuvenation, which, like a personal example, I sometimes have to actually schedule myself for one full day off a week because I do so many little things. I run around so much and yeah, I might have a gap in between, but I need one full day off to myself. Like I need to tell myself, okay, we need to relax because I'm doing so much on the other days that it's like I need a full day to myself sometimes. Or I commit to one evening every now and then to logging off apps at a certain time or every night. I'm not that consistent with the exact timing, but let's just use the timing of 8 p.m. for an example. At 8 p.m., I log off of all my apps, turn off all my work, and put my phone on Do Not Disturb. And like I said, does it happen perfectly? No. But I'm trying to make this commitment to help me stay balanced. So I actually, like, I know it's very funny because I'm like, I have to schedule in rest time, but it's true. I need to make time for rest and rejuvenation, and so do you. So if you're working a lot, make time. Take one evening a week for yourself. Do something where you're actually pulling away from everything. It also gives you time to connect with yourself, notice what your mind is thinking, notice what your body is actually saying. You'll be able to notice your body's cues the more time you spend in that slow type of energy, okay? Processing emotions is another thing. Instead of just pushing them aside, giving yourself time in whatever way that looks like for you to process emotions. And this also creates space for flow and activity and creativity. So maybe giving yourself a day where you don't have a schedule. It could be your off day and you don't have a schedule besides maybe waking up at a certain time. It could even be letting your body wake up naturally when it wants. That's something that can push you into that yin energy. Going with the flow, finding yourself not too stressed if you work out at a different time, if you sleep in a little longer, if you have a slow morning, if you go for a walk in the middle of the day. So it's not about pushing through life the way that society tells us to, okay? It's about honoring your natural rhythms and just leveraging the power of rest, connection, processing, doing something creative, doing something for your inner child. Try to make time during your week. It could be any amount of time, but I would suggest at least carving an evening or like a day off for yourself to explore these things. Your body will force you to slow down if you don't, you know? It will. Give yourself permission to rest before your body starts showing you that it really needs it. It might already be showing you it really needs it. This is a lesson that you might have to learn multiple times throughout your life, and that's okay. Just keep coming back to it. If you notice you're in a period where you're pushing yourself a little more, check in with yourself and ask yourself, are you honoring this little yin side of life? Are you leaning into that? You could ask yourself, what do I actually want? Beyond like what society is telling me, okay? What do I want to do? Maybe we're noticing that we're just doing what we think we should do, and that's kind of pushing through into that yang energy. So pulling back a little bit, asking yourself what lights you up, like what truly lights you up. Something you can ask another thing is like, how aligned am I? Like what feels aligned with me? It's more like, guess what I'm saying, than who I think I should be. You know, what is true to me? This kind of ties back to that other point, being authentic, finding things that you enjoy that light you up. So knowing that the real happiness in life isn't growth and achievement, it's simply just allowing yourself to be exactly where you are and enjoying life how it is right now might be the only reminder that you actually need. Overall, when we allow ourselves this time to rest, lean into the softer things in life, the more creative things, create that space to relax a little bit in our day to day, this will help us. Because if we really can't achieve anything when we're 100% on one side of a scale, you know, and we can't achieve anything when we're just doing nothing the entire time. So that's why we need a balance of both. That's going to help us have a clearer mind. We'll be able to look at things. We'll be able to look at things clearer. We'll be able to feel better and make decisions and push through these barriers from a better space. Okay, number three, we're going to talk a little bit about the third major blockage, which I like to call it the victim mindset, and how we can transform our victim mindset into an abundance mindset. And I think it's very crucial because this changes how we experience life and what opportunities we attract. So first off, like we've broken down before, but let's understand what a victim mindset looks like. Blaming other people for our choices and our circumstances. It could be telling negative stories about our past repeatedly. So like when we come home from work and the first thing we do is dish out all the bad stuff that happened to us, the drive to work, who said what at work, the traffic on the way home from work again. And then we come home and the first thing we talk about is all this negative stuff. We rehash it. It can also be feeling powerless because of that. Sometimes we tend to tell people negative things that happen to us because it makes them, like it makes you feel like you're in the right state of mind. Our mind loves to make sure that we come up on top. So if somebody did something wrong to you, you're going to want to tell other people because you want other people to justify and be like, yeah, that was kind of effed up. They did that. And then you're like, yeah. And your mind can justify it. So a lot of the times when you go through things, like for example, when you do things alone, like if you're driving alone and somebody cuts you off, it's so easy to be like when the second you get out of your car and you finally meet up with your friends because you're on the way to lunch and somebody cuts you off. When you get out of the car, the first thing you're going to tell them is that somebody cut you off and that you're pissed about it because you want them to validate that back to you and be like, yeah, that is messed up. They did that. And it makes you feel a little bit better. But it is part of that victim mindset because it just carries a lot of negativity to live that way. And like, I'll do it too. Like everything I say on this podcast, like I said, is stuff I do and I'm working on or I did in the past. So I'm not talking from like a negative point of view where I'm like, don't say negative things ever, but just try. Try to notice in your life where you blame other people. Because yes, other people may have influenced your past decisions or have had a great involvement in your life with these things, okay? But now you have the power to change your future. The key here is to move on from blame and living in that past mentality and move into like a little bit more of empowerment. So we can work on that through like shadow work and things, but from the state forward is shifting from the woe is me, this happened to me because of this, this person did this, because I'm here, now I'm doing this, and I can't leave because blah, blah. Listen to the stories you tell yourself, and we're going to try and move from that blame to responsibility, but with like an empowerment, you know? We want to move to an abundance mindset. So an abundance mindset is living like life is rigged in your favor, because why not, okay? Be delusional. But it really works by thinking life is rigged in your favor, okay? It's a complete paradigm shift from how you view everything that happens to you. So when things don't work out, instead of being like, oh my gosh, this person cut me off and now I'm like mad over that, think of every delay and every weird thing that might happen to you like that as some sort of divine timing. If you've ever heard of the burnt toast theory, it's the theory that when you woke up in the morning and you were making breakfast and you put your toast in and it got burnt and now you're mad because you have to take the bread out, put new bread in and wait another like 2-3 minutes to make your toast, and now you're running a little bit late. That weird situation that kind of held you back might have prevented you from getting in the car, what, 4 minutes earlier, right? And within those 4 minutes, you could have accidentally gotten into a car accident because something happened. But now that you're 4 minutes later, you missed that whole event and you didn't get into a car accident. So it's like, that's not what this whole thing is about, but it's a good example of how divine timing, or the expression of divine timing, kind of works, where everything happens for a reason. All of the rejections in your life are redirections, you know? Every no is protecting you for a bigger yes. So whether that be, again, a job that maybe denied you or a relationship that didn't work out, it's making space for something bigger, or like it's protecting you from those circumstances because they maybe were not going to be good for you, and now you have the space to take on something bigger and better. So an abundance mindset is thinking about life as rigged in your favor. When these things come up in your life, whether it's a delay, a no, whatever, it's redirecting you. So it's rejection is redirection, and you're carrying that mindset with you the entire time. You operate with a bit of certainty. You operate with a bit of trust in the universe or whatever, because this allows you to detach from things. When you have a certainty that things are going to work out in your life and that everything is happening for a reason and you're heading in a good direction, it allows you to pull back from attachment. Because I found this very helpful, just like how I was saying earlier, the whole perfectionism thing was like an aha moment for me when I realized that being certain about things and being certain like, yeah, this will work out for me, or yeah, I will get this job one day, I'll get this type of job, I'll end up living in this place, it's going to happen. And you can detach from it because you know it's going to happen. And you could go through your life just being certain about that thing. When we feel the gap between where we are now and where we want to be, and there's a gap, we hate the feeling of that gap, that lack, that we don't have it. So we try to cling on to it as hard as we can. And that's attachment. And that's why things don't work sometimes. When we're so attached to something, you're going to grip onto it because you have a secret belief that it's not going to work out for you. And you need to sink your claws into it, or else it's going to get slip away from underneath your hands. So that's where attachment comes from. So we want to pull back from that attachment. We want to detach from things. And detaching from things is so much easier when you're certain that things are going to work out for you, when you're certain that life is rigged in your favor and things are working out for you all the time. And you don't even understand the ways that it's working out for you, but it is. So that is why having certainty and operating with a place of certainty about who you are and your worth and everything in life is a lot better, because it can help you detach. And I felt like it helped me release so many things in my life. And I was like, you know what? You're right. Maybe I wanted to go that direction, and maybe I could still go that direction, but the path I was on wasn't the right path. And I'm just going to find a different path there. And it's probably a better path, much more scenic path. So the power of certainty can't be understated. We can use phrases like, of course, I'm worthy for this job, or I deserve to make this amount of money, I'm worthy of rest, if not this, then something better. Little phrases like that, you know? Just knowing that there's more than enough for you and everybody is going to really help you out. Two techniques I like to use. I actually just posted about these this week on Instagram and TikTok, and they did pretty well. Not to toot my own horn, they did pretty well on TikTok. There are two visualization techniques that can help you kind of snap into the abundance mindset and also help you kind of direct yourself where you want to go so that you can release that attachment. So the first thing I like to call is like a concept, living as her. So this is about embodying your highest, most abundant self right now. I've talked about this like in so many episodes, maybe for the past 2 years, like I really have. Visualizing who you want to be, seeing your future self, laying down, sitting down, closing your eyes, seeing the person that you want to be in the future doing what you want to do, okay? This person is very magnetic. They're very abundant. Now you're going to look at them and you're going to ask yourself, how do they move through the world? Is that version of me that's like super successful and cool, is she really stressed out? Is she trying to control every outcome ever? Probably not. She trusts that things are going to work out for her, you know? She focuses on what is in her power, what she can do. She's very grateful. She's the type of person who does this, this, and this, you know? And you can work and plug in the habits and the hobbies that you want to do into that version of you and then kind of work backwards from that. You can ask yourself how she walks, you know? I literally do this. I might sound insane, but I'll be at work sometimes and I'll notice like my posture is a little slumped over and I'll be like, girl, that really cool, rich, popular, cool, successful version of me, she has good posture. And then I immediately like pull my shoulder blades back and I'm like, I'm like, you're right, she does. And I start walking like a lot cooler. She moves with like intention, you know? When I walk into a room, I don't know why, it might be because I'm from New York, I have a tendency to look down and like look away from people, but I think of that really cool person that I want to be and I'm like, well, she's very sociable, she makes a lot of connections, so she would make eye contact, okay? And then it encourages me in the moment to shift and make more eye contact. So I'm actually making these decisions every day, thinking of this future version of me and then working backwards. It's a really cool technique. Yeah, I don't know. It just makes, if I feel like awkward or not confident, I'm like, no, this person, this version of me, like she knows that if she enters a room, like she belongs there, you know? When you're feeling like you're in that victim mindset, take a moment to connect with this older, wiser version of yourself, okay? How would this person view my current challenge? You know, would she learn from it or would she sit there and dwell on it and think about the past, you know? From that perspective, from the perspective that we were just talking about, it's all a part of the journey because she knows that certainty is there for her to help back her up. The next thing I like to use, the second technique, is called the older self method. I guess it's called that. I just made it up right now. But I got this method off of like a TikTok a while ago. But it's about connecting with another future version of yourself. But this time, connecting with, like, let's say the 80-year-old version of yourself, okay? So if you want to bring more gratitude and abundance in your life, like right now, you can do this, and I swear you're going to feel so much more grateful for who you are and attract so much more abundance into your life in like 2 minutes if you do this. Pretend that you just time traveled back into this present moment from like your 80-year-old self. Think how happy that version of yourself would be to move, like move your body so fluidly, to breathe, to see all the people that you're seeing right now, to eat the foods that you're eating, to take risks, because maybe you didn't take risks and that person has been thinking about it for 60 years and they're immediately now back in this body and they'd be like, oh my gosh, I want to try this. I want to do that. I want to make a chance to change this. I love thinking from that person too. So sometimes I'm like exposing myself. I feel like I sound like a psycho. I could be sitting like at the store and I'll be like, my 80-year-old self, my 80-year-old self just came back into my body. And she's so appreciative. I'm going to be so nice to everybody I talk to right now because, like, I'm so happy to be here. And this isn't, like, a weird toxic positivity technique. It's about consciously choosing to see life as it's happening for you, okay, and not to you. Every time you catch yourself in that victim state, pause and ask yourself, okay, how would my most abundant self handle this? Or how would my older, wiser, future self want me to respond to the things that are happening right now? But you also really have to remember, I think, number one, just because everyone around you doesn't believe that they're worthy or enough or they're going through their own issues, it doesn't mean that you have to adopt the same mindset, okay? Some people will try to use like realism or something to bring you back into this moment, and you don't have to snoop down to that level, okay? Just because they're thinking that way, and to be honest, maybe they're not that happy, doesn't mean that you have to do it too. Sometimes being different and choosing an abundance mindset and just feeling happy where you are, where others may lack, is exactly what's going to set you free and make you different from that. And why wouldn't you want that? Don't let other people tear you down. We finally made it to the fourth and final point on something to overcome. And I would say this is the power of consistency and the power of practice in rewiring our brains for success. I don't know if this is something to overcome, but it's something I want you to integrate. And I just wanted to include it in this episode because it's very important. And it kind of ties into the neuroscience that we're talking about a bit. So when we consistently practice new behaviors or new thoughts, we literally rewire our brain. And that's been the basis of so many episodes, okay? When you practice a new behavior, you strengthen neural pathways in your brain. When you practice something that's difficult, at first it may feel difficult to you, but over time, through constant repetition and becoming, it can become an automatic behavior. So just think about somebody who went from the journey of never going to the gym to being someone who goes consistently, okay? They, without really knowing it, I guess, program their brain to be able to handle that and see things a bit differently. Eventually, the quote-unquote hard route is going to become something that is your default way of being. So with that in mind, that's how our brain works. It can take something and turn it into a clear pathway in our brain that makes it so much easier for us to do this. We can use visualization to help us out here, the concept of visualization, because our brain doesn't distinguish when something is real or something is vividly imagined, okay? It just sees it as an experience. So if you experience something day to day with a like physical where you can touch it, or if you close your eyes, and I know people say this all the time, but it's so true. If you close your eyes and fully vividly experience a visualization, your brain doesn't really know the difference. In neural speaking, okay, obviously your body is going to realize, like, I'm sitting in my bed right now. I'm not in Tahiti on a vacation. What are you talking about? Like, that visualization was fake. So that's why our logical brain is thinking right now. But I'm talking about the actual neural pathways in your brain. They don't know the difference. And we can use this to our advantage. So when you visualize something or an experience repeatedly, your brain is going to create that new neural circuitry, just like we were talking about before. When we do something hard, we do something repetitively. When you visualize something repeatedly, your brain is actually going to create a little bit of space, a little notch, like a tiny little pathway, a sidewalk, if you will, in your brain around this, okay? Through visualization, you can literally create, let's use the feelings and the topic of success, okay? You can literally create pathways for success in your brain. So let's say you want to visualize yourself, I don't know, running a business or doing something like in a big corporate world, if that's your dream. Visualizing that constantly, or visualizing that, almost like we were saying before, that future version of yourself and what they're doing and who they are, it can expand your brain to help you go after these things and get used to that feeling of success. And your brain's going to be able to feel it's possible because it already has the blueprints in its head. This is called neurogenesis. So it's the creation of new neural pathways in the brain. It's almost like what we're talking about neuroscience, but specifically like expanding your brain, it's called neurogenesis. And we talk a lot about how the brain operates from the past, you know, from past experiences, like trauma, how that's held in your brain. But the brain doesn't just have to be a collection of memories from the past. It can be a map of the future, basically, by creating all these new pathways for things we haven't even experienced. And there's a study, and I got this from Joe Dispenza. So there was a real study that they did where they took participants who have never played a piano in their entire life. They've never even seen a piano, basically. And they, you know, they put them through a program. I think it was like 5 days long, and they had some like wires attached to them when they were in this place so they can like track their brain activity. They put them through a program for 5 days where through visualization and through like, I think it was like worksheets, they mentally practiced for about 2 hours a day the chords and I don't know what the other word is, but basically the chords and the notes of a piano. They were able to do activities on that just like you would do homework for 2 hours a day, right? For 5 days. And then on day five, they went in and looked at their brain, and they noticed that these people developed new neural circuits in their motor cortex. So then they took all these people. So now they have proof that their brains have changed by doing all these activities. They put all these people in front of a real piano, and these people have never seen a piano in their entire life. And they actually didn't learn how to play a piano. They just learned about the chords and like how they move and all that stuff. So they put them in front of a piano, and all of them could play the piano. They could play the chords that they visualized through their heads. So this demonstrates like the principle we're talking about, where we have new information, it can create new synaptic connections, which are the little gaps in our brain, and they kind of plug into each other and create new pathways. So when we have new information, we create these new pathways. And then by repetition, which sometimes they talk about in the science world as like firing and wiring, but by repetition, they created all these new structures in their brain. So they got new information and they repeated it so many times that they were able to create this entire thing in their brain that these people who have never seen a piano, the second they got thrown in front of it, they knew exactly how to use it. So you don't have to even experience something to physically change your brain to be ready for it and to actually feel it. So that's why I think gratitude meditations and visualizations for success or whatever word, you know, that you're thinking of are amazing. They even have it for like health and things like that. Not because they're magic, because that's not what this is at all. We're not talking about woo-woo stuff. Because these are things that you haven't experienced before, right? Maybe you haven't experienced running a multi-million business and that's what you're thinking of, right? Or these are things that you're trying to conjure, these feelings you're trying to conjure, or maybe they're feelings you're trying to change, right? So you're creating hardware in your brain to be aware of these feelings and be ready to feel them and actually basically on like a micro dosing level experience them already. And once you create that hardware, then you're just creating space for it in your life. So it's really cool that we can do this with our brains, and visualizations in general, they really are effective. And again, like I said, it's not because you're magic, it's not because of the person on the tape is saying something that is guiding you into like a magical realm. It's you're just creating, you're using science, your repetition, and you're doing visualization, and you're creating these pathways in your brain. Okay, sorry, I got really excited there. You can probably hear it in my tone of voice. But how can we actually use this? Like, how can we practically use these things? So you can practice whatever your desired change is. Practice it consistently, okay? Even when it feels challenging. So maybe you're trying to, I'm always using the example of going to the gym. Even when it feels challenging, try to take the hard route. Get up early. Go to the gym. Do the thing, okay? You can use visualization as a tool to pre-wire your brain for success. So in your visualizations, you can see yourself as healthy and fit, you know, and that's going to pre-set up your brain to be used to that conditioning. You can make up your own. I also do have some visualizations in podcast episodes. If you just type in the word meditation, it'll let you know if there's visualization in it in the description. So if you just search under the podcast, you can find a few examples there. And also, I haven't announced it yet, so I'm just going to throw it in here, but I'm creating a little bit of like a membership portal kind of thing, which is going to have full yoga videos. It's going to have visualizations and other tools to help you transform your mindset. So that's coming, like, I'm hoping like late summer. Stay tuned for that. I'm going to have tons of visualizations based on literally neuroscience to help you out in a lot of different departments. You can join my newsletter, or you can just stay up to date and follow me on Instagram to see when that launches. My Instagram is Happy Holistic Hippie. So stay tuned with that. But again, just doing visualizations in general, they will help you pre-wire your brain. And going back to that first point, trusting what feels difficult now will become natural through repetition, okay? So again, if that's getting up early, if that's working out, doing a meditation, studying, the key is perseverance, okay? So every time that you practice, whether it's a new habit, a mindset, a skill, you're literally building that architecture in your brain, if you want to think of it like neural architecture in a sense, for your future self. And this way, when you make decisions and you make choices, you're already set up for it. Like, it's literally already wired in your head. So that's why this is such important work, because it can really help you make any decision, because it's already in you. So those are the four major things that I think, like blockages, barriers, that can hold us back from having a very authentic, fulfilled life and making a good change that can change everything. So our limiting beliefs, the struggle between pushing ourselves into that masculine versus feminine energy, falling into a victim mindset, and not being consistent in creating change. But the beautiful thing again is the awareness. That's why I make these episodes, can help you with that transformation. By recognizing these patterns, like period, in yourself, we can consciously choose to change and make a different response, you know, and create new neural pathways that can support our growth. So it's never about perfection. As we know, I said that for like 10 minutes today, we were talking about perfectionism, but it's about progress. Okay. So every small step you take towards addressing these blockages is what's going to help you bring you a little bit closer to embodying your higher self. The key is just to stay committed in your growth, but also being gentle with yourself along the way when you need grace, compassion. Those are definitely words that we should keep with us through all of this work. That is basically it. I do have like two little announcements. So again, I mentioned in the past few episodes, we're going to have some merch dropping. I decided what we're going to do. So don't worry about that. I got everything kind of in its workshop phase. We're almost there. It's going to be launching at the end of June and July. I just got to put some finishing touches on everything. And then additionally, like I kind of mentioned it earlier, I'm going to be creating a little bit of a community space, like an online studio, launching later this summer. So it's going to be a little space for connection and growth. I'm also going to have some weekly YouTube videos coming up soon, whether it's a full yoga class, a meditation, a full visualization like we were talking about, or just like a short chat, kind of like this podcast, but like under 10 minutes. So if you want to stay in the loop about any of these upcoming things that can definitely benefit you in your journey, follow me on Instagram under Happy Holistic Hippie. You can also join my mailing list. I'll put a link down below. And if the link's not there, it's because I'm working on changing the host of my mailing list. So it should be up. If you're listening to this on like the first day or two, it may not be up. But if you're listening to it, hopefully by like day three, it's up. To stay informed and know launch dates, other exclusive information. Yeah, the weekly newsletter is going to be really cool. It has like motivation. We're going to do like an oracle card pull. You'll find some more nourishing content in there to support your journey. But thank you so much for being a part of this community in general. I love it. I feel like we're creating something really special together. And I hope you can get something out of this episode. If you can, share it with a friend. Let them know. Because I feel like this, like I was saying, it's a ripple effect. Maybe you can have some part in giving this to somebody else. And then it also helps me out when you share the episodes. Because I can create more content with more people learning from it. Yeah. Make sure to leave a review on whatever platform you're listening to. I really appreciate it. It's like an energetic exchange. And have a beautiful rest of your day.